It's time now for the Bean Report, brought to you by Manitoba Pulse and Soybean Growers. Joining us today is production specialist Laura Schmidt.
Soybeans are setting and filling pods, staging them at R3 to R4. Most fields are showing some signs of drought stress, which mainly presents with flipped leaves during the day to reflect sun and conserve a bit of moisture. That being said, there's still a lot of potential for this year's soybean crop at this stage. Critical water uptake for soybeans is during pod formation and fill, so yield will be determined here in the coming weeks. There were some scattered showers around Westman over the weekend and some over central areas on Monday. Hopefully, we'll continue to see more. One interesting thing for soybeans is that researchers found that if they were subjected to water stress during V4, that they had an increased tolerance to water shortages later in life. So we were certainly dry during that period of soybean development. So perhaps these more resilient plants will be able to carry on despite the dry conditions and maximize what they can produce from that moisture that does come. So still a lot of potential here. For dry beans, they range from R2 to R3, forming pods that are pin beans to pods that are about an inch or more long. Continue to scout and assess the risk of white mold development now that there's been some precipitation. The R2 early pin bean stage is the best time for fungicide applications. So far, spraying has been minimal, limited to fields with thick canopies, in areas with more moisture and minimal winds. For peas, they have full pods and are maturing rapidly, ranging from R4 to R5, even R6 in some fields. Heat and dry conditions have caused some seeds within pods to abort, resulting in fewer seeds per pod. Peas are maturing rapidly, in part due to earlier seeding dates this year, but also in part due to the moisture limitations. And harvest is expected to begin here shortly. Fava beans have full pods in some areas, staging around R5, and some symptoms of disease are starting to show up in the lower canopy, but very mild. Grasshoppers continue to be the main pest of concern. Defoliation thresholds change at these later reproductive stages. For soybeans that bloom to pod fill, it's 15% defoliation. And for more advanced soybeans at pod fill to maturity, the threshold is increased to 25% defoliation, unless you do have pod seeding observed. Soybean aphids were confirmed 2 weeks ago in central Manitoba at very low levels. These aphids blow in from the south, so overall, populations remain quite low here and in North Dakota. Field populations of beneficial predators appear to be offering control at this point, so that's really good to see as well.
And Laura, talk a little bit about soybean cyst nematode.
Soybean cyst nematode, or SCN, is one of our most yield-damaging pests with soybeans, so we've been keeping an eye out for it as it gets established here in Manitoba. Symptoms are easily mistaken for IDC or drownout, so if you're seeing something that resembles IDC symptoms and the crop just isn't growing out of them, dig up some roots and investigate. SCN above-ground symptoms are more noticeable on sandier soil types in a dry year, but at low levels of infection, plants may still appear healthy above ground. So digging up roots in poorer producing areas is the best way to really investigate what's going on. Below ground, symptoms are these whitish, lemon-shaped cysts on the roots. They're much smaller than nodules. So if you are finding these when you're digging up roots, give specialists at MPSG or Manitoba Agriculture a call, and we can get it confirmed and diagnosed for you. Soybean cyst nematode is brought in with soil movement, so along rivers or with flooding, but also any soil movement when transferring equipment between farms or fields. So if you're picking up that new-to-you equipment, make sure it's coming clean before putting it in the field. And if you are worried about SCN, you can also just start working in resistant varieties into your rotation. A lot of our varieties do have resistance genes within them, and varieties with resistance are listed in our variety guide as well as Seed Manitoba. You can also just read more about SCN and all of that in this week's Bean Report.
Just to wrap things up, wanted to talk a little bit about Phytophthora root rot versus stem canker.
Sure. So it is a lower disease pressure year, but we are still seeing these soybean stem diseases creep up. So it's important to be able to differentiate between them. So two lookalikes are Phytophthora root rot and stem canker. So Phytophthora root rot is a root and stem disease specific to soybeans that can infect at any growth stage. It appears as a brown lesion that extends upwards from the soil line, and roots are discolored and unhealthy looking. Plants will be wilted, leaves remain attached to the plant. If infection occurs in patches, or you can have randomly infected plants throughout the field. So The lookalikes, northern stem cankers, these plants will also appear wilted and there will also be a brown lesion on the stem. But with stem canker, roots will still be healthy and the lesion typically won't extend upwards from the soil line. You'll find it at kind of upward along the stem at an axil and then it'll expand from there. So the best strategy to manage Phytophthora is again variety resistance, which you can learn more about in this week's Bean Report. And for stem canker, crop rotation, incorporating residue, foliar fungicides, and genetic resistance are all options to manage high levels of this disease. But thankfully, with stem canker, it typically only occurs at low infection levels, and you only see kind of the odd plant in the field.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Schmidt is a production specialist with Manitoba Pulse and Soybean Growers. The Bean Report is brought to you by Manitoba Pulse and Soybean Growers. You can find out more at manitobapulse.ca.